Open your Bibles again to begin with to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. We'll read our golden text, our main theme for all of our, we always use this verse for all of our prayer seminars. 18th verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we have noticed this. There's other facts here that we will consider in the process of time. But as we pointed out, another translation said, praying always with all manner of prayer. Are all kinds of prayer. There is an interesting fact here that keeps coming up. That's reading. I better say it before I go on. You'll notice here that this verse, it seems to be talking about praying for Christians, all saints. Now we lift this out of its setting and talk about these all kinds of prayers. But you notice this, look at it again now. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul adds, and for me. Pray for me and make supplication for me, that utterance may be given unto me. So you see, he includes himself in on that. Here's something I want you to notice. You notice the word supplications in that verse twice. Notice the word intercession is not in it. Do you notice that? You don't find one scripture in the New Testament anywhere where you intercede for or intercession for Christians. You make supplication. Do you ever think about that? New thought to you, isn't it? Scripture. Hold your place there and come over to 1 Timothy and see where intercession comes in. See, what happens is people call supplication intercession a lot of times, and it isn't. Notice, here in 1 Timothy, hold your place, like I said, there in Ephesians, we come back to it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, start reading verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now here he's not talking about saints, he's talking about all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, and so on and so forth. You'll notice that he adds the word intercession there when it comes to others outside. Amen. See, that's the reason that a lot of folks have gotten in the ditch on prayer, made such a mess out of it, is because they're using the wrong kinds of praying and it don't work. It's not supposed to work. Are you listening to me? You see, in the Old Testament, you see Abraham making intercession for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but those are not people of God. Far from being people of God. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
So I think really what we've done is we've sort of mixed things up and it's been misleading. No, you make supplication, prayer. Notice he said all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, among other things, there are different definitions of supplication. One definition is entreaty, or to entreat a favor. We say sometimes that we interceding in a certain area, and really we didn't. We made supplication. We called it intercession, and that's the reason we got into confusion. Because you really don't need to intercede for a Christian because they're already in fellowship with God. You may have to supplicate for them, entreat a favor for them from God. Amen? Amen. But you don't intercede. You see, an intercessor is one that takes the place of another. You don't need to take the place of another Christian. In fact, I don't think you could. But you can take the place of the sinner to intercede on the behalf of somebody that's lost. Intercede on the part of, as he said here, kings and for all that are in authority. Because, see, they're not in fellowship with God. You have to intercede for those that are not in fellowship. People are talking about interceding for my ministry. You can't intercede for your ministry. You can pray about it, but nobody can intercede for your ministry. Can you see where we've gotten off and gotten into the ditch? Into excess and extremes? Satan's confused folks. Messed things up. Amen? Well, we'll get into some of that later on. I think we'll see it more clearly. But you see, what we do a lot of times is that we just simply lift a verse or part of a verse out of its setting to cover some other ground sometimes. Amen. And it does apply in a sense in that area. Now, you know, for instance, we take the scripture, you know, Paul writing to the churches in Galatia. He's not writing to sinners. But he said to the churches, this letter was to be read throughout all the churches in Galatia, not just one church. But he made the statement that we preach to sinners, and it's true in a sense, but it really wasn't written to them. Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? Amen. See, that isn't written to sinners. Paul didn't write that letter to the world. Though in a general sense it can apply to them, but we left the impression, you see, by taking it out of its setting, that that's the only ones it does apply to. But no, he specifically is writing to church people. Don't be deceived about it. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, you can get forgiveness, you see, but you're still going to do some reaping. You take a fella, here's a fella down in Texas that backslid, got into sin, wrong living, thoroughly saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, all right. But he got away from God and he got to drinking, got in a car wreck, lost one of his legs, had to take it off. Well, he got back to God, God forgave him, but the rest of his life he had to reap as a result of his wrongdoing. And there is a sense in which you do continue to reap, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. Amen? You still out there? You're going home. Sure did get quiet on me, didn't you? See, that does away with the theory then. Well, no matter what you do, God will forgive you. Well, thank God he will. But there is some reaping to do. Amen? Well, let that be as it may. You know, I won't charge you anything, but that's all free. So we just lifted this part of that verse out of its setting. That's what I wanted to show you, just to deal, first of all, in prayer school with different kinds of prayer and different kinds of praying. Amen? Amen. And so we talked about the prayer of faith. We talked about the prayer of consecration or dedication, submission, consecrating ourselves to the will of God. We talked about the prayer of committing or casting our cares upon the Lord, for thank God he does care for us. We talked about the prayer of agreement, you remember. And then we left off talking about the prayer of worship and praise. Now in the 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the very first and second verses, the Word of God tells us that there was in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as, and it mentions the names of five men, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So it mentions these five. Now notice the second verse. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. It might help us if we had defined prayer. Too many times people think praying is just sort of like the old farmer that always prayed, God bless me and my son, me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four no more. Well, that's not prayer. Our people think that prayer is like Jimmy over here. He said, my name, Jimmy, will take all you'll give me. Amen. But that's not prayer. There's more to prayer than that. Prayer is joining forces with God, our Father. Prayer is carrying out His will upon the earth. Prayer is fellowshipping with Him. Somebody said that praise is the highest type of prayer. Now, you don't think when you're praising God, don't think about that being prayer, do you? Yet, right on the other hand, when you're praising and worshiping God, you are fellowshipping with Him, aren't you? Well, that's still a part of prayer. Or we could even say it's one kind of prayer. Then we noticed how that Paul, in his writings particularly, if we just read this in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, where he said, I exhort, therefore, he's writing to Timothy, a young minister. If I understand correctly, he was pastor at this time. And he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayers, supplication, intercessions. Now notice, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Amen. Then you remember the verse that we looked at in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul said to the church at Philippi, be careful for nothing, King James translation. Or we noticed another translation that's more clear, makes it clear at least to our understanding, where he said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, now notice again, I want you to notice something again. It keeps coming up in me. So notice something again that the word intercession is not used here. Because see, he's talking about you and things that you're going to are tempted to fret about or worry about. Amen? So he said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. See, these are things that concern you as an individual. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, now notice intercession is not mentioned in there, with thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, earnest entreaty. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, let your request, be made known unto God. Hallelujah. But now notice how he ends it each time with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Well, giving of thanks, praising the Lord all go together. You can't separate them. Because when you give thanks, you are not only giving thanks, but you're praising God, aren't you? Yes. Hallelujah. Now, here it says, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So there is a kind of praying of waiting upon God, seeking Him, ministering to Him, fellowshipping with Him, just thanking Him and praising Him. We don't have enough of that kind of praying. I made mention in the class here to the healing school, a testimony that I read many years ago when I back in the 30s when I received the baptism, the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues in 1937 and came over among the Pentecostals, I read this testimony in the Pentecostal Evangel about one of the missionaries, Assemblies of God missionaries, that was there in one of the foreign countries. And this missionary came down with smallpox. Well, smallpox was deadly in those days and so on. And so they isolated them from the rest of the folks because they didn't want it to spread. And so this person said they were praying. Of course, they prayed with them. Others prayed for them, prayed with them. But this lady missionary said as she was praying, she had a vision. And then this vision, she saw one of those old-fashioned, some of you younger folks may not have never seen any of those old-fashioned scales of balance. And so she saw these scales. On one side was prayers and petitions. And it was full, you know, just weighted down. And the other was praise. And it was way up here, you see, it didn't have much in it. And she said, then I heard a voice say to me that when the praise balances the petitions, it will be answered. So instead of praying, all she did was just simply begin to praise God. And she praised God for 3 days and nights. Just praised God. Folks could hear as they went by her room praising God. And they'd pick up and begin to praise God. And every symptom disappeared. All the pox just disappeared. She is completely healed, left no. Many times those pox would leave scars, but left no. I mean, couldn't even tell he was ever there. I gave also a testimony. I'll say this for the employees' benefit, and it'll bear repetition with the rest of you folks. In other words, we're not planting seed, we'll water it. Amen. A minister, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, came over among the Pentecostals, I heard the testimony, I heard people talking about it. But I didn't know the minister that it happened to. So eventually I met him. And then in the process of time, I had him to hold a revival meeting for me in my church. And so I got the story firsthand from him. Here again is this petition and praise business balancing out. He is a young married man, and they had expecting actually their first baby. And he come to find out that he had TB. Well, now you see, you have to realize that I'm talking about back in the early 30s. And in those days, before the days of the miracle drugs, if you'll go back and check during the 30s, TB was, I think, about the number one cause of death here in the United States. And so everywhere he went, he's an evangelist. Everywhere he went, he'd ask people to pray. In fact, he'd just tell them about it, you know. And he'd get people to go on record. Will you pray? Every time you think about it, pray for him. Well, the Bible said, pray one for another that you may be healed. And so he preached all over Texas and New Mexico and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Louisiana. And people are praying, but he steadily grew worse until finally he can't go anymore. And he didn't have any place to go, so he went to his dad-in-law. His dad-in-law had a farm down south of Dallas in the Blackland. And so he went there. Well, their baby had been born just a few months old, maybe 8, 10, could have been 12 months old by now. And he became totally bedfast and was hemorrhaging and just had to be waited on. I mean, he can't get up and get out of bed. And so he said one day out there in the country, his mother and his mother-in-law and his wife were washing, doing the weekly wash out behind the house. In those days, you washed with those old-fashioned rub boards. Don't know whether any of y'all ever done that or not. I have. It's not easy. Amen. Thank God for modern appliances. Can you say anybody ever washed on one of the rub boards? Oh, quite a few folks. The rest of you folks have missed half your life. So they're out there doing the weekly wash. His dad-in-law's over the back side of the farm are plowing. And he told me, he said, I don't know how come me to do it. I didn't have enough strength even to turn over. But some way or another, at least turned my head over and I could see out the window. And out there about several hundred yards from the house was a clump of bushes and some trees. And I don't even know why I did. I just said, Lord, give me enough strength to get up and get out there among those bushes and trees and I'll just pray until I'm healed or until I'm dead. One of the two. And so then he said, I began to gather a little strength and began to try to get up, and finally did make it up out of bed and went out the front door and finally made my way down there. And time I got down there, just give out, just fell on the ground in the shade, of course, under the trees. And then the devil said, "Now, boy, you really played it now. I mean, you can't talk above a whisper. You don't have any strength. And you've got off down here. Nobody knows where you are. Your mother-in-law and wife are behind the house washing. Daddy-in-law's over in the back side of the farm plowing with the old team, you know, of mules. And you can't holler because you can't talk about, nobody knows where you are. So you'll just die. The buzzards will lead them to you. That's the only way they'll find you. The buzzards will lead you to them." And so he said, I said, "Well, that's all right, Mr. Devil. That's what I came down here for anyway. I'm going to pray till I'm healed or till I'm dead, one of the two." And so he said, "I'm waiting to gather enough strength to start doing some praying." And he said, I began to think about it. Now, if just half of the people that said they would pray, prayed, if you'd put it all together over the period of time, they would have been thousands of hours of prayer that went up on his behalf. And he said to myself, "Well, if prayer was going to do it, it had already been done. I'm going to change." He said, I said, "I'm going to lie here," and he's lying there flat of his back, "and I'm going to praise God until I die or I'm healed, one of the two." Well, to make a long story short, at the end of 2 hours, he was on his feet hollering so loud somebody heard him 2 miles away. Praise God. Some way or another, he got that balanced out without knowing it. This other woman had a vision. He didn't. But some way or another, he got that petition and praise in balance. And when he got it in balance, it worked. Praise God. I'm well satisfied that a lot of people have been praying for weeks and days and weeks and maybe months or even years about some things. If they'd quit praying and start praising, it wouldn't be long till they'd get there. Praising God for what? Because he hears and answers prayer. Praising God for the answer. Giving thanksgiving to God for the privilege of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to the 16th chapter of Acts. The 16th chapter of Acts. And remember, this is Paul wrote this letter to the saints at Philippi. And when he wrote to them, he may have had in mind about the experience he had there in the beginning of his own ministry in Philippi, and the beginning of the church there. You know the story. We'll not read it again. But how that a man stood up in the nighttime, said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Prior to that, Paul's company, and Luke is the writer, he was with Paul's company, and they essayed to go into, they were forbidden to go into Asia by the Spirit. They essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Holy Ghost again remonstrated with them, we might say, or forbade them. You see, we have to interpret Scripture in the light of other Scriptures. You don't just take Scripture out in one isolated text and try to prove something. Are you listening to me? Now, for instance, you know, we'll give you an illustration along that line. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You're familiar with it, Mark, the 16th chapter, 16th verse. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Well, now we emphasize quite a bit about laying hands on the sick. Why don't you emphasize the others? Well, we really do. But to tell you the real truth about it, you see, laying on of hands is a doctrine. Casting out devils is not a doctrine. Amen?
Amen.
Even speaking with other tongues is not a doctrine. Taking up serpents is not a doctrine. If you drink any deadly thing is not a doctrine. You ever hear anybody say that before? I never either. Never said it before in my life. Just then. Just come out of me. But can't you see it? Now go over to the 6th chapter of Hebrews real quick. Go over to the 6th chapter of Hebrews real quick. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving, amen, the doctrine of Christ. Now see, you'll have to interpret what I meant by doctrine in the light of this. I'm talking about doctrine of Christ, even though he said this. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, wherein that is casting out devils one of the fundamental principles of the doctrine of Christ? It isn't, is it?
No.
Wherein that is speaking with other tongues one of the fundamental principles of the doctrine of Christ? It isn't, is it? Wherein that is there the taking up serpents one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ? Isn't, is it? Wherein that is if you drink any deadly thing one of the doctrine of Christ? Not a one of them, but laying on of hands is. I said laying on of hands is.
Amen.
So therefore we put more emphasis on that. Secondly, I don't know, I talk different over here in this auditorium than I do in the other one. I just do different. I mean, you know, did you notice that? Got a different anointing. All right, now notice, see, what was I going to say? You remember what it was? Secondly, well, yeah, but secondly what? I remember, just wanted to see if you knew. I knew you didn't. I hadn't told you yet. How could you know? Secondly, when you get over into the Acts of the Apostles and see the early church putting into practice what Jesus said, you see more about laying on your hands than you do anything else. You do see speaking with other tongues. You do see casting out devils. You don't see anything about if they drink any deadly thing. And you have only one instance of anybody being bit by a serpent. But from the beginning of Acts to the end of it, you see laying on of hands. If I had time, I could quote you all the way through. And you see it ended. You see in the Acts of the Apostles, what's the last chapter? The Acts of the Apostles. How many chapters in Acts of the Apostles? How many?
28.
You see in the last chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul shipwrecked on the island of Melita. And you notice that he entered into the chief man of the island, Publius, is his father-in-law, the chief man of the island, and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And then they brought the sick from throughout the island, evidently the same thing, he laid his hands on them. Amen?
Amen.
Some thinking there, isn't there? Food for thought. Now, going back to taking up serpents, for instance. Here's what the illustration I was going to use to begin with. We just got off on those side issues, but they help us too. You interpret Scripture in the light of other Scriptures on the same subject. You do not take a Scripture out of its setting and try to prove anything. Many dear folks have tried to take that's a sign. So if they don't believe so, you're supposed to handle snakes. Well, we only have one other Scripture in the New Testament on the subject. Amen. They'll take up serpents. And that's here when Paul was shipwrecked, here in the 27th chapter. You remember the ship was wrecked. And in the beginning, end of 27, beginning of the 28th chapter. And so Paul, he said, now, there stood by me this night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve. And the ship's going to be lost, but there'll be the loss of no man's life if you'll do what I tell you, what the angel told him. So everybody's life was saved. They got on the island. Of course, they were wet. They wanted to build a fire. Paul helped them, gathering up stick, and an asp or a serpent took hold of him, bit him. Well, everybody looked. They waited for him to die, but he didn't die. Just shook it off. So we know by putting the only two scriptures in the New Testament together on the subject that what he's saying is if you're accidentally bit, you have a right just to shake it off. Now, I know of two people. I know a pastor I knew. I preached three meetings for him altogether. When God saved him, he's just a farmer. God called him to preach, and like he said to me, I knew I had no education. I couldn't preach in the city, preach to city people. I've always just preached in the country. But he had two good country churches. I held meetings in both of them. Good, solid people. And some of his men told me they were sinner men. Their wives were saved. But they went fishing with the pastor. They got away back in the woods, and they were fishing, and this pastor was bitten by a poisonous snake. And these sinner men, two of them said to me, well, they were Christians at the time, they were talking to me. They said, we knew we couldn't get him out of there and get him anywhere. I mean, we knew he's dead. That's all there is to it. I mean, we lived here all of our life. We know he's dead. But said he just shook it off, said, men, don't bother about it. Scripture said, if, you know, they'll take up surfing. It doesn't mean you handle anything. I was accidentally bit. Said, we watched him. Never did affect him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Those two men, praise God, they got saved. Filled the Holy Ghost. Missionary, one of our missionaries. This was Assemblies of God, and that was Assembly of God pastor. Assemblies of God missionary, lady missionary. And she was bitten by a certain kind of a scorpion. I mean, when you were bit by it, that's it, you're dead. There's no antidote for it, you're dead. Well, the people watched her because she was in the village and where she was preaching, and our missionary. Other missionaries were there, all right, but she was the only one left at the time. At the mission station. And so they expected her, you see, to swell up like they did Paul here and fall down dead. And they just followed her because they knew she's going to die. But nothing ever happened. She shook it off in the name of Jesus. And the whole village followed because the mission station was just out the outskirts of the village. Whole village followed her. Filled up the church. They just knew. She got to preach to all of them. Never did. Most all the village got saved. Amen. Praise God forevermore. I knew a pastor down in Texas. And he was bitten by we call him a mad dog. Rabies. They want him all. See, they've got the dog. They've checked him. He's got rabies. They won't give him all these shots. Oh, no. He said if you, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll come under that because this is deadly. Never did affect him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Never affected him. Amen. Well, somebody said, I think I'll try that. Well, you'll probably wind up dying. He didn't try it, he did it.
Amen.
Amen. You might as well say amen, so anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we get off on some of those little side thoughts, but they help us as much as anything, don't they? Look at that sixth verse of this 16th chapter of Acts. You'll notice the latter part of it, it says, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, like I said, and I merely use the Great Commission and like taking up serpents to show you that you interpret that in a lot of other scriptures. You see, some people will take the scripture where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and say every one of us is supposed to go into all the world because, see, he said so. But everybody couldn't go. Anybody half sense one eye knows that. And everybody shouldn't go. Amen. And then there are those that tell you that you don't have to have any call to go. I heard a fellow preaching one time at a great national convention of full gospel, Pentecostal people. And he said that. He wasn't called. You didn't have to have any call. He just saw a need. Before he got through preaching, everybody in the crowd, about several thousand, knew that he wasn't called. I mean, you could tell he didn't have an ounce of unction on him. He was reading his sermon. Well, it's all right to read sometimes if it fits in all right, but you can even read with an anointing.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost has got something to do with it.
Amen.
I said, the Holy Ghost has got something to do with it.
Amen.
I said, the Holy Ghost has got something to do with it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, they were forbidden. It said they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, I thought God wanted the word to go everywhere. Yes, he does. But he may not want Paul to take it everywhere, or his particular company to take it everywhere. Amen.
Amen.
And so then it says, the latter part of that sixth verse, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. That just simply means he wouldn't let them go. Seemed to me like they paid more attention to the Holy Ghost. That may have been a reason they had more results here in the Acts of the Apostles.
Amen.
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 Now, another thing, don't you remember when they got into the controversy and some of those brethren of the circumcision went into the Gentiles and preached to them, except you be circumcised and keep the law, you can't be saved? 15th chapter of Acts. And they had that conference up there at Jerusalem. Remember how they stated that letter they wrote to them? They said it seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost. Both of them. Seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. You ought to be able to tell when the Holy Ghost is forbidding you to do something. Amen. Or you ought to be able to tell when it just doesn't seem good. He's not forbidding you, but it just don't seem good to him. Amen. And you ought to be able to tell when the Holy Ghost just won't suffer you to do certain things. Three different distinctions here, whether you realize it or not. Amen. Then it says, the ninth verse, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. I don't know while he was asleep or whether they just woke up and saw it. I don't know. But at least it appeared to him. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. A man of Macedonia in a vision said, prayed him, or they use that word pray a lot of times in the place of begged him, or ask him, or besought him to come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Well, I thought he called us to preach the gospel to the whole world. The whole body he did. I said the whole body of Christ he did call. But he didn't just call every particular evangelistic group. See, there's a whole group of people with Paul. Luke is with them. He said we. He didn't just particularly call every group to go to the whole world. Or any one minister to go to the whole world. He knows where you will fit in and where you won't.
Amen.
Now, you mind me taking another little side journey while I'm at it? Okay, I'll just do it. You see, a lot of time people will tell everybody, you know, well, you ought to do this. Everybody's not cut out to do the same thing. Everybody doesn't have the same call, and then whether you have any call or not, even working in the church and so on and so forth, everybody's just, they don't have the right equipment or they don't have the right personality or something to fit in certain places, but there is something all of us could do.
Amen.
Now, for instance, one church I pastored years ago, way back in the 40s. And so we're going to do some visitation, you know, house to house, personal work, winning people to the Lord and so on and so forth. Well, I talked to some of them, and I knew some of them didn't fit there. But I didn't think they could understand it if I said it, so I didn't say anything right off, and then I'd done better if I had. So one of our dear ladies, just a splendid woman. I mean, one of the ladies in our church, she's about 55, 56, 7 years old. She could talk to the janitor or talk to the president of the United States on the same level. Wouldn't bother her at all. I mean, she just meets you on the level you are. She could talk to people in a higher strata of society, or she could talk to folks down in the skid row and witness to them about Jesus. But there was a family lived right close to her. And you know, different people took different, you know, and they went in groups, or teams, at least two, or maybe three, some of them, different parts of the town. And so she didn't necessarily take the part of town where she lived. But she came to me and she said, these neighbors, her, she'd been talking to them, said, who was that old hag from your church? Now, they came to visit them, and the man was sick, and at that time, bedfast. People were sick in their homes in those days, and doctors made house calls. Instead of being kind and nice and witnessing to them about Jesus and, you know, just blessing them in any way they could, she got in there and got to talking, you know, and it just is foreign to them, talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And just ruined all this other lady had done. Well, I just called her off of the team. I said, sister, you're just not equipped. If you don't have any more wisdom than that, you're not equipped. Don't you go. And then I said to the rest of them, because really, to tell you the real truth about it, everybody's not equipped to do the same thing. And some folks will make a bigger mess than would anything. But there is something all of us can do. Amen. I remember that same church. There's a fellow live right behind the church. There's a street went right beside the church, more of an alleyway like, and there's only two or three houses down there. His was the very first one right behind the church. And the church on the corner and the parsonage next door. And this fellow's retired. He's, I think, 60. I started to say 69. I don't believe he's quite that old. 67, somewhere in that vicinity. And I talked to him quite a bit, you know, and he, a lot of times, there's a little store, neighborhood store up above us, and he had cut between the parsonage and the church, save a few steps, and walk through there, and I'd holler at him sometime, you know. And so he got up one time, we'd have a testimony meeting, you know. And of course, we're talking about early 40s now, and we didn't have the money. We weren't as fluid as we are now. We didn't hire a janitor. Different people volunteered. You know, and some of them one week would clean up the church, and some of them another time. And I'd always go out there on Saturday, because most of them didn't do a good job, and redo a bunch of it, and dust the pews and dust the pulpit, and be sure everything's in order. The song books are in order and everything, you know. But anyway, I remember we were having a testimony meeting, as you usually did on Sunday morning particularly, because there wasn't anybody there but our folks, and we'd let everybody participate. And this fella got up, I tell you, his face was beaming like a neon sign turned on in the dark. I mean, you could just see. I mean, you didn't have to ask him that guy's so happy he can't hardly stand still. And he said, you know, folks, I've been praying, Lord, you know, there's something I can do. He said, now, I never went to school a day in my life, so I can't read the Bible. After my two daughters got up grown, they taught me to write my name so I wouldn't have to sign with an X. Now, he's retired at this time, but he had been a farmer, and then in later years had worked at another job. And he and his wife both had a comfortable pension from some certain areas, and I said, Lord, you know, I know I can pray, and we pay our tithes, but it's just, you know, I want to do something, you know. I can't sing the choir because I don't have a voice for singing, and besides that, I can't even read the song book anyway. Of course, you could memorize, you know, the songs. But he said, I was walking this week. I cut in between the church and the parsonage, and I was talking to the Lord, you know, and you just talk to the Lord. You know, some people won't put on an air and they go to praying. He knows how you talk all the time. What do you want to do that for? You might as well just go ahead and talk to him. And he said, I said, Lord, it looks like it's something I could do. He said, the Lord said to me, just as plain, he said, and I looked around, no bother. He said, well, you could clean up the church. You could be the janitor. They need a janitor. Man, I tell you, that fellow became the best janitor you ever seen in your lifetime. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. When you do it as unto the Lord, you do a better job, don't you? And he was just so thrilled he found something he could do. He was just a thrill, praise God. And I'll tell you, that church was spick and span. You know what I mean by that? I mean, there's no use going checking. He wouldn't leave a drop of dust anywhere, you know, a speck of dust. Amen. But he found something. I said that to say this to you. Like he said, I'd be a poor witness trying to talk to somebody because, you know, my no education. But there is something you can do. There's something everybody can do. But see, sometimes folks want to be sure I do something where everybody can see what I do. No, we do it as unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly again that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now notice, so they went into there. And at the end of the 12th verse it says, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, another thought. See, these folks are religious and they are serving God in all the light they have, but they don't know about Jesus. Most of them probably were Jewish proselytes because he talks about them going into the synagogue there. So they resorted thither to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And did you notice again that it seemed like there's all of them's women? It's always either. I don't know why it is, but to get women to pray, it is men. And spake unto the women which resorted thither, where prayer was wont to be made. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, that is, fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now notice, and this did she many days. Now how did she know who these folks were? She wasn't at the prayer meeting. That spirit that she's telling fortunes by, that devil knows exactly who they are.
That's right.
And what she told is the truth. These are servants of the Most High God. That's who they are.
Amen.
And they've come hither to show us the way of salvation. Amen. Thank God. That's why they were there.
Yes.
But who wants the devil testifying for
you?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Now then notice this. Notice this. The same followed Paul and us. Luke is the writer of the Acts. Us. He's there with Paul's company. This whole company of believers. The same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did for a day or two.
Many days.
Huh? What?
Many days.
Many days. A few days?
Many.
Many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. To the woman? No, to the Spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now I want to ask you a question. What in the world, why didn't he do that the first day? Why did he want to put up with that for many days for? Didn't he have the name of Jesus the first day?
Yes.
If he could have done that the first day, or the second day, or the third day, why did he wait so long? Did you ever stop thinking about that? Didn't Jesus say, in my name they'll cast out devils? Isn't he apostle? Isn't he anointed by the Holy Ghost? Why didn't he do that? Why did he want to wait after it had gone on for many days? Why didn't he correct the situation the first day? Huh? Does anybody know? You see, he can't do anything without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yeah, he's anointed the Holy Ghost, all right. Just like this, the anointing to preach, if you're called to the ministry. You get anointed to preach. You pray, prepare, get up, start out in faith, the anointing comes on you to preach. But that anointing to preach don't stay on you all the time. If it did, you'd never shut up. Just go ahead and talk, preach till you die. He waited till he could say that under the anointing.
Yes, right.
He knew that was the devil all the time, but in my opinion, he waited till God gave him discerning of spirits.
Amen.
You notice he said he turned and spoke to the Spirit. He turned and spoke to the Spirit. It could have been that he saw that Spirit. So he just talked to it. Said, come out of her. In the name of Jesus. And he came out the self-same hour. Amen?
Amen.
Now you see where folks miss it? In every area.
Yeah.
They're trying to do it in the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
And it just simply don't work. You see people just push every button, pull every lever, and say everything the same place. Well, now it worked before. I wonder why it don't work now. What about the anointing? I mean, if you could do it without the anointing, you wouldn't need the anointing.
That's right. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go on reading. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone... So see, of course, they're charging for this fortune telling. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach custom which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now get the picture. Their backs are bleeding. They have been whipped. They're in the innermost prison. Their feet are secure in stocks, so they have no movement. Now, notice this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas begin to fret and gripe and complain. And Silas said to Paul, Paul, you sure must have missed God. That vision you had of that fellow that stood up and said, come over and help us, must have been just because you ate too much for supper. You know that couldn't have been God. I mean, if God had called you to a city by this time, I mean supernaturally, spectacularly, by this time, you'd have had the whole city converted. But they've got one woman saved and the devil cast out of one young lady. You know God couldn't be in it. Us winding up here in jail, beside that, my back's about to kill me. And my feet are in these stocks and I can't move. And I don't know what in the world God ever put this on us anyway. I mean, I haven't done anything real bad. Why did God put this on us? Yeah, and Paul said we must have missed God somewhere. You know if God was in it, you wouldn't have anything like this. My, if we ever do get out of jail and we get back home, I'll be ashamed. I never did get in jail when I served the devil. I never had it this rough and this tough when I served the devil. When I was living in sin, there was this bad. I ever do get back home, I'll be ashamed. They'll just call me an old jailbird. No, sir, if they'd have fretted and complained, they'd have still been in jail yet if they'd lived that long. And that's the reason you're staying in jail. Keep on complaining, keep on fretting, and you'll stay there. That's not the way out. That's not the way out. Now remember, this is at Philippi where this happened. And remember, in the book of Philippians that we just quoted a little earlier, Paul's writing back there. And now then, they've got a church. Amen. They sure didn't have a church then. They'd got that one woman saved, and the devil cast out that young girl telling fortunes and got in jail. But a church was established. The jailer got saved. I don't know. I like to think maybe he is pastor of the church. Could have been. He's the first man that got saved there. He'd be the oldest Christian man among them. He may have wound up pastor of the church. Paul may have been thinking about that when he wrote that letter to him and said, don't fret. Don't fret. He knew what he's talking about. Or have any anxiety about anything. Don't even fret about getting in jail. Don't even fret about getting whipped. Or have any anxiety. But in everything, what are you going to do if you can't fret? What are you going to do if you can't worry? What are you going to do if you can't be full of anxiety? You're going to do what the Bible said to do. You're going to pray.
Amen.
You're going to pray.
Yes.
You're going to pray.
Yes.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, he may have been thinking about this. Look at that 25th verse again. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And you see, sometimes folks need to pray and. Did you get it? And that's the reason that they haven't, their prayers haven't worked, because they haven't prayed and. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and. Did what? And what? Sang. Oh, dear Lord, can you sing in jail? Can you sing in your back of hurting? Haven't been whipped? Can you sing and your feet in stocks? Can't move? No movement? That gets monotonous after a while, doesn't it? Yeah, thank God you can.
Amen.
Prayed and sang praises unto God. Now look at the rest of that verse. And the prisoners heard them. I mean, they weren't even quiet about it. Think about it at midnight. You would think they would have had some respect for those other prisoners. Midnight, you know they're trying to sleep. And here they are praying right out loud and singing. And if they couldn't sing any better than I can, I know they didn't care too good of a tune. Now, if they could sing like Wayne, it'd have been different. Amen. But regardless, glory to God, they prayed and sang praises unto God. Now, notice this expression, at midnight. I believe that that verse literally is talking about the midnight hour. But I believe that there is also a spiritual application here. Midnight can be that darkest hour in your life.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
This verse tells you what to do at midnight.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Glory to God. This verse tells you what to do at midnight. Pray and sing praises to God. Hallelujah. And you'll go on reading, you'll find they were delivered. Now, while I'm talking, I want you to see. I want you to hold that thought, midnight, in your mind. What does midnight mean? Well, I believe here in this verse that it literally means, and turn to James while I'm talking. I believe it literally means the midnight hour. I believe that. But right on the other hand, I believe that it means that darkest hour in your life. That time of the very worst test. That hardest place. Amen? That you may be in or going through. I believe it can mean that also, don't you? Praise God. And I believe this is instructions. The entrance of His words giveth light. This is instructions of tells you what to do at midnight. Now, I don't like to base something on one text or one isolated verse or one isolated incident, but I like to Find other scriptures that will corroborate, even if it doesn't say it just word for word, at least it corroborates what we're saying. Now, you found James, the 5th chapter. Let's start reading with the 13th verse. We all know the 14th and 15th verses. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, I want you to notice that he's talking about church people here. Is any among you afflicted? Is any among you merry? Is any sick? Among whom? Notice, let him call for the elders of the church. So he's talking about the church. Is any among the Christians? Any among the saints? Now notice three things here. Is any afflicted? Is any merry? Is any sick? Now this start at the bottom and go backwards of the last one. I remember P.C. Nelson said, Dad Nelson was a Greek scholar. In fact, one of the secular magazines the year he went home to be with the Lord said P.C. Nelson of Fort Worth, Texas, is the number one authority on the Greek language in America. And he said to we young preachers, he said, actually, the Greek denotes this, where it says it's any sick. Actually, he said that word sick in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, is any beyond doing anything for themselves. Then let them call for the elders' church. God never intended for every little old toe ache, headache, nose ache, ear ache, toothache, any other kind of ache. Amen. That you just run the elders and the preachers to death trying to see after you. We are concerned one about another, surely. But he said it denotes as any beyond helping themselves. Then let him call for the elders of the church. Amen.
Amen.
Now then. But you see, that word afflicted there, we missed out on that because we think about sickness being an affliction. In one sense of the word, it can. But the Greek word translated afflicted is, or affliction, is test and trial. Is any among you tested? Is any among you tried? Is any among you in a hard place? Is it midnight in your life? Notice what he said for you to do. What did he say for you to do? Let him pray. He didn't even say get somebody to pray for you. He said let him pray. Said even let him pray. Amen. Now some of our workers, I know Patsy knows and Mrs. Creek knows and maybe some others that, you know, we started healing school 10 years ago, prayer and healing school. It was a combination then. Now we've separated the two, but then prayer and healing school. 10 years ago this October. October the 1st, 1979 was on a Monday. October the 1st, 1989 was on a Sunday. You know that, don't you? At least about 89, you should know that. But October the 1st, the first day of October 1979 was on a Monday. You remember that? We started prayer and healing school over here in SDC 1, the room where they have healing school each afternoon now. And so we didn't have the prayer and healing center building back there. And so we would, folks would come in for healing, you know, and we had different purposes in mind, not only to get people healed, but to train others to minister. We had a lot of folks came. We had four ministers that came from Hong Kong, China. A lot of folks never did even know it, but they wrote and asked us, can we come? We don't know how to minister to the sick and we want to learn. Can we come and be in on healing school? We said, come on. We had any number of Roman Catholic priests. You never did know they were here. They didn't wear their priestly garb. But they wrote us and said, we want to learn how to minister to the sick. We don't know how. Can we come to healing school and learn? Well, you see, the purpose, it was a many-purpose school. That's the reason we called it healing school. Amen?
Amen.
See? Well, after the class each day, because some people can only be there one day, you know, we had the old Faith Creation singing group to begin with. And they were really obligated to stay with us because they'd go on. We just got their word for it, but their people keep their word. To stay with us for another year. You know, we got their commitment in May, I think, of the year before to stay. And so when I started healing school, though, then I stayed here more and didn't go out much to begin with to get it going at least. And so I asked them to stay and help me. And so they stayed October, November, and December, 3 months. And then when they got back off Christmas vacation, well, I met with them and said to them, now, if you don't have, I'll release you from your commitment. You see, if this is not your burden, because I want people, see, you can get people to do things, but if that's not their burden, or they don't feel called, they're not going to put their heart in it.
Right.
And they're just a hindrance instead of a help.
Amen.
Amen. And so I said, if this is not your burden, if you don't feel like God wants you here, then I release you, you can go. Well, four of them left almost immediately. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, I don't mean that the wrong way. But then those folks stayed, you see, that felt like that's what God wanted them to do. Nonetheless, the Faith Creation Group would help us, you see. And then maybe some of the students, you know. And so we would meet in the next adjoining room, you know, and talk to these folks. Because I didn't pray for the sick every day. And usually I'd just pray for them on Friday. And find out what they came for, you know. We're really talking about healing. But really what happened was, we unconscious, you know, you can just unconsciously miss it. You know, and maybe doing a good thing, all right, but it may not be what God called you to do. And that's where you get into trouble, and the anointing lifts from you then. Because you're doing what you want to do, not what the Holy Ghost. It lessens the anointing. And so they got into a counseling mode. I mean, counseling people on everything. And we fell into that. And when we built the prayer and healing center, you know, well, we put some extra rooms in there, you know, and so on. And so then we got to having our weekly prayer meeting here with students and others that wanted to come. And I said to them, let's pray about healing school. Because I'd talked to Patsy and to some of the others that were leaders, and you just didn't feel in your spirit. You know, there ought to be a change here somewhere or another, but don't know what it is. And so we began to pray. Well, one night we were praying. I was kneeling right here by this chair at the end here, just praying away. And the Lord said to me, now read James 5 again. And so I had my Bible there, and so I read it again. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Now, if somebody's merry, you know, you don't go to somebody and say, now, I'm merry. If you're merry, you're happy and joyous, aren't you? Huh? You know, I'm just full of joy. You sing for me. No, do your own singing. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. And so the Lord said to me, now, when it comes to healing, because that's what we were having was healing school, he said, did you notice that it is not prayer and faith and counseling? It's prayer and faith and healing. Of course, you can teach people the word, but that's not counseling people. Are you listening? You see, people want to be counseled on everything you can think of. And the Lord said to me, I didn't ask you to do that. I want you to cut that out. I mean, they'd spend some time on the phone. People phone in. It's their phone bill, not ours. But they'd spend some time, 30 minutes on the phone. I'm adding even longer. Counseling people. Sometimes the same person will call back next week. People wanting counseling on marriage problems. Well, only one. You can't counsel anybody on marriage and just talk to one of them. You've got to have both of them. It's not a one-sided problem. There are two people involved here. And the Lord said to me, don't you counsel people. Pray for them and pray with them, yes. But don't counsel. Don't you counsel anybody except people here. You see, those in school that might need. Your own sheep. He said, if people need counseling, they ought to be counseled in their own sheepfold. And if they don't have a sheepfold, that's where their problem is. And a lot of these people calling in, that's their problem. They don't have any sheepfold. They don't go anywhere. They can't call anywhere home. Now, we wouldn't say it that way. We'd say church. But he said sheepfold. You ever notice the Holy Ghost talks different than you do a lot of times? Amen. I said amen. Now, what am I saying? Let's get back to the thought back there. At midnight, they prayed. And sang praises to God. Well, at that time when you were afflicted, That time when you're going through that test, when you're going through that trial, when you're pressed to the limit, that's midnight in your life. What are you going to do? Do what the Bible said to do. Pray and sing praises to God. Hallelujah. That's the way out. I'll tell you, a lot of these folks that come for counseling, if you'd say to them, now, before we counsel, let's get down here and pray for an hour. That'd put them on the run. They don't want to pray. They want a quick answer. They want somebody to give them a quick fix. You tell me what to do. Well, if you're a Christian, you ought to talk to God and let Him tell you what to do. I pastored there 12 years. I'd say in 12 years of pastoral work, I didn't do 3 hours of counseling in 12 years. Amen. See, we'd close every service out by people praying around the altar. We had small church. You can't do it with a big church necessarily. I've had people to come to church on Sunday night and say to me, because I'm back greeting people as they came, shaking hands with them, "Brother Hagin, after church, I'd like to talk to you. I want to get your opinion on something. Or I'd like for you to counsel with me on something." Fine. I said, "All right." The service is over. We spent 30, 40 minutes, many of us, praying around the altar. I'm shaking hands with folks and shook hands with this man and said to him, "Now just wait and I'll get to shake hands with folks and we'll go back to the office." "Oh, no need. I've already got my answer." He got it there while he's praying. Amen. Those folks would pray that out themselves. People need to learn to do that. Whether they're preachers, whether they're in the pulpit or in the pew. Whether they're pulpiteurs or pewers. That's not good words, is it? You understand me, though? They need to learn to pray those things out for themselves. Let him pray. That means her too. And at midnight, everybody say, "And at midnight."
And at midnight.
They prayed. And sang praises to God.
And the prisoners
heard them. Thank God somebody else heard them too.
Amen.
Who was it?
God
heard them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Can't you just see him reach down over the balusters of heaven, get hold of that old jail and shook it? Amen. Till every door flew open. The stocks fell off of their feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that's the way out. Glory to God. Now if you stay in, it's not my fault. You know, I can't do that for you. That's what somebody's wanting to do. Somebody else do it for them. Well, thank God Jesus will do it for you. God will do it for you if you'll do what He said to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Well, I don't know whether it helps you or not, but it preached me happy. I know I've been there a lot of times when it's midnight. I don't mean just once or twice. I've been there a many a time when it was midnight. And I don't mean this egotistical. I trust you won't take it wrong. I say it with tears. I never did ask anybody to pray. They couldn't possibly be anybody else as interested in me as I am. Amen. Amen. They couldn't possibly be as interested about my finances as I am. They couldn't possibly be as concerned about my children as I am. They couldn't possibly be as concerned about my condition as I am. And I never turned in a prayer request yet. I just did what the Bible said to do.
Yes.
I prayed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 And sang praises to God.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org. Or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.